2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. So good to see everybody that's here today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. We're excited about what God is doing here at Highlands Baptist Church. Good to see you. Have y'all enjoyed having the screens up there and showing the song numbers that we're at? Hope that's been a help. And we are broadcasting not just to Facebook, but we've just got it. We're broadcasting to YouTube as well. So I know some people have liked that better. It's a little bit more user-friendly. If you're like me, I look like a millennial, but I'm not one. I don't know how to use Facebook or any technology or anything like that. But anyway, I'm excited that we have that set up so you can, whichever is most convenient for you. And so all of our services will be broadcast on both and recorded on both of those things. So if you miss one, you'd like to go back and listen to it, you can go on our YouTube channel. So praise the Lord for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. And if you're there, give me a big amen. Bible says this, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. The title of my message this morning is this, A Vessel Unto Honor. A vessel unto honor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, I pray that you please fill me with your Holy Spirit's power today. You know that I need your help. Thank you for the first-time guests that you've brought to your house today. Father, I pray that we can be a blessing to them and encourage them. And Lord, thank you for the souls that were saved yesterday at the grocery giveaway. Just thank you for working in our midst. Lord, I pray that you please help me as I preach. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. In the Old Testament, when God was giving instructions on how to build the tabernacle and all the furniture pieces, one of the things that were very important were all the different types of vessels. When the tabernacle, if you read the Old Testament, when it talks about a vessel, it's not just talking about like a cup. It would be anything that would hold a liquid or that would hold some spices or even some moving earth, moving dirt. Pitchers, spoons, shovels, basins, cups, bowls, all of those things were called vessels, and they were all used for various different types of service there in the tabernacle and in the temple. They were made of either gold, silver, or brass. And so when you read about the vessels, you'll read a lot about them when Nebuchadnezzar came into Babylon and he took all the vessels, those precious treasures of the temple and of the tabernacle, and brought them into Babylon. That's what that's talking about. But one of the things that I love about the Word of God is that the Old Testament is every single New Testament truth has an Old Testament illustration. Every New Testament truth has an Old Testament illustration. It's almost like if you could imagine watching a painter as he starts painting maybe a big mural on the side of one of the walls here in Lake Placid, and you start to see the different colors as they form, and they're beautiful and intriguing, but you can't quite put together what he's painting yet. And so you keep watching as the colors, and it starts to finally make more sense. And then he puts this, connects this thing here and puts this shadow here. And then finally you can step back and say, oh, that's what he was painting. That's what was taking place in the Old Testament. God was giving pictures and illustrations of what was to come. We preached on fulfilled pictures and how that the Passover, that's just a picture of Jesus. And there's so many pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament. And so all of the things that if you and I just read the Old Testament and look at, we'd say, that sounds kind of strange. I don't see the logic in that. I don't understand what the purpose of that would have been. But what we're looking at is we're looking at the colors all kind of start to form and say, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. And then finally, Jesus came and was born of a virgin and died on the cross and all of those things. And now the whole picture makes sense. And you can take any truth in the New Testament and go back to the Old Testament and find where God had been painting a picture of it all along. Just like the road to Emmaus. Remember on Easter Sunday, we preached on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus was walking by these two disciples, and they're depressed, and they're talking, and Jesus walks up. They don't know who he is. And he says, what's wrong? And they said, you must be a visitor in Jerusalem to not know. How can you not know what's going on and not understand why we're sad? They said, our king, our Messiah, he was taken. He was killed. They crucified him on a cross, and he's buried. This morning, there's talk that his body's gone. We went to the tomb and he's not there. We don't know where he is. How could we not be sad? And then Jesus, they still don't know who he is. Jesus says, you fools, guys, how could you, do you not remember that he taught that these things were going to come to pass? He taught that he was going to be killed and raise it up again in 3 days. He taught all about it. But then Jesus took them back through the Old Testament. All the pictures, the manna in the wilderness, the tabernacle, the Passover, and the water and the manna, everything. He took them back all through the Old Testament pictures, and he was saying, you see that? That was a picture of Jesus. This person, yes, his name was Joseph, but he was a picture of Jesus. Moses, this deliverer, yes, he was a picture of Jesus, and Isaac was a picture of Jesus, and the ram was a picture of Jesus. The blood was a picture of Jesus. The scarlet cord, all of it was a picture of Jesus. And so Jesus tells them all of that. And so all of these Old Testament things, the ceremonies that are no longer necessary, they all represented something. Well, we look in the tabernacle and we see what the altar represents, obviously. That was a picture of the cross where the blood was shed. We see the mercy seat. That was a picture of the mercy seat that was in heaven when Jesus took his blood and applied it to the mercy seat there in heaven. And then you and I were granted salvation if we trust Christ as our Savior. All of those things were pictures. What about the vessels? What are the vessels a picture of? Each thing has something that it represents. There's a story when Ananias, in Acts chapter 9, Ananias is told, hey, there's a man coming to see you. His name is Saul of Tarsus. Ananias said, whoa, I know him. God, Saul of Tarsus is coming here to kill Christians. He's against us. He persecutes the church of God. And God said, no, Ananias, I've changed him. He's gotten saved. And he makes the statement, he is a chosen vessel unto me. What do the vessels in the tabernacle, the vessels in the temple, what do they represent? We see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read the story. Paul is saying that in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. So we see here that when God was talking about the vessels in the Old Testament and what they were used for and the reason they had such important purpose, they were extremely important. When Babylon came in and took the children of Israel captive into the land of Babylon with King Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah wrote, and God told under through the inspiration of Jeremiah, he said that when I restore them back, the first thing he mentioned is we're going to bring back the precious vessels of the house of God and bring them. They were so important. Why? When you look back at the Old Testament, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It's a shovel. It's a spoon used to just transfer spices so they could be mixed together. It's a little pitcher that just carried oil. It's a lamp. We would look at those and say, what was the purpose? Why is it so important? God called them holy. God said they were sanctified. What was the big deal with all of the emphasis that was put on the vessels? We would look at that and say, I see color here and I see color here, but it's not making sense. But we get to the New Testament, we find out it was important because not of what they were, but because of what they pictured. They pictured God's treasures. You know, in Jeremiah, it really says that the vessels were in the treasury of the Lord's house. You're one of God's treasures. That's why it was so important. That's why God said it was so holy, was because it pictured the church one day. It pictured the body of Christ, the Christians that would one day be saved, and they would be the ones going soul winning, and they would be the ones serving, and they would be the ones worshiping. You're his vessels. And so Paul is explaining, he said, if you, Timothy, look at a great house, which the great house, of course, the picture was the Old Testament house of God. Today, it's a picture of the church. And he said, in the house, there's all kinds of vessels, all kinds of different kinds. They all have different uses. They all have different purposes. They all have different features, different talents, different strengths and weaknesses, but they're all designed for a specific reason. And without the vessels, the work couldn't go on. The Levites who were in charge of doing everything that God wanted them to do in the tabernacle, if they didn't have the vessels, they wouldn't be able to do the work. They were so important. It's interesting. I love it. God is the one that does all the work, but what a privilege to be a vessel that's used by God. Wow. Everything that's taken place, the way this church has grown and the way God has blessed it and the souls that we've seen saved, it's not been you and I, it's been God. But we've been vessels that have said, Lord, if you'll use us, we'll be willing to be used vessels. But what Paul is specifically talking about here, he tells Timothy, he said, when you look at a house, you'll see vessels unto honor. What he's talking about there is vessels like that were in the tabernacle, gold, silver, brass, beautiful. They've been polished, they've been taken care of. And he said, they're vessels unto honor, meaning this, when someone visits the house, they're put on display. They're set out so someone can see them because they make the house look good. they make the house look valuable. They're because of those vessels on the honor. But he said there are some vessels on the dishonor. And he said those in the story, those vessels were made out of earth and wood. And he said those they just use for things that are they're going to be broken. They use them for dirty things. They're not used for the precious things of the work of the Lord. And he said those are vessels under dishonor. And then Paul explains why he was giving this analogy. He said, your vessels, and whether you're a vessel under honor or a vessel under dishonor is based off of you and the decisions that you make. Well, I tell you what, I want to be a vessel under honor. I so want to be a vessel under honor. We see the things that were taught, the vessels under dishonor were made of wood or earth, and they wouldn't last very long. They would be used for dirty and messy things, and God wants you and I to stay away from the dirt of this world. He wants us to stay away from the filth of this world. Yes, we live in it, but he doesn't want us to, we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. God wants us to be separate from the filth and the wickedness and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He wants us to separate ourselves and be the vessel under honor that's washed and sanctified and protected and polished. And he's not talking about physical appearance. He's talking about spiritual appearance and set aside specifically to be used for the work of God. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to be a vessel under honor. I want the people in your church. I want them to be a vessel under honor. And so I want to, if we're going to be vessels under honor this morning, I want us to learn some things about the vessels. We see, first of all, that the truth that Paul is trying to teach here, we are all vessels. We could be vessels unto honor, dishonor, and the vessels unto honor were able to be used in the temple of the Lord's service. The ones unto dishonor would be rejected. God couldn't use them. He had to use the vessels unto honor. So what made a vessel unto honor? First of all, a vessel unto honor was holy. It was holy. We're going to do a little bit of turning this morning. If you'd rather just listen, you don't have to turn there. But Exodus chapter 40 and verse 9, we're going to see back when they were first given the instructions to make these vessels. And in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 9, look what the Bible says here. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 9. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. It says, "And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." Holy. What's a vessel under honor, preacher? It's a vessel that's holy or clean. It's clean. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, we're talking about the way that the vessel applies to you and I. It's Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And so God does not want you and I to be unclean vessels. God can't use a dirty vessel. God's going to use one that's clean, one that's holy. If there's a Christian, who's living like a lost person, meaning that they're not interested in looking like God wants them to look and talking the way God wants them to talk and going to the places that God wants them to go, they're not interested in that. There's no desire to serve him. There's no desire to read the commands that are in the book and apply them to their life and say, okay, God wants me to do this, so I'm going to do it. And God doesn't want me to do that, so I'm not going to do it. They're not interested in that. God said, I can't use a vessel like that. That's a vessel into dishonor. That's a vessel that's dirty. It's got the filth of the world on it. If it's going to be used, and I want to use it. That's why I made it. That's why I created it. I created that vessel so that I could use it, and it could be a vessel into honor that I could put in my house. But if they're just full of filth, God can't use that. Why? It makes God look bad. It makes God look bad. My dad told me a long time ago that his father gave him the name Carringer. And he said, son, that's a clean name. And that name has a good reputation. Don't ever do anything to disgrace that name. How many of you saved? Raise your hand. You're a Christian. Raise your hand. If you're saved, God gave you the name Christian. And God is not going to use vessels that make his name look bad. He's not going to use them. Now, he loves them. And what he's going to do is he's going to keep working on them and trying to get them cleaned up. And he's going to send preachers to preach on their filthiness. He's going to hopefully try to convince them to read the Bible so they can read about, oh, I shouldn't do this and I should do this. He's going to do everything he can to clean them up. But until that vessel gets clean, God won't be able to use it. Because God said, I've got to use a clean vessel. I've got to use a vessel that's holy. And so when Paul told Timothy, we're all vessels. We're God's treasures in the great house, the house of God. Some of them are vessels unto honor. Those kind God can use. Some are vessels unto dishonor. What makes a difference? The first difference is that the vessels unto honor are holy. I'm not saying that you and I are perfect. I'm not saying that at all. The only thing holy about me is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But I've got to try the best I can to live a biblical lifestyle. We talked about if you missed Sunday school this morning, we talked about how can a Christian get victory over temptation. That's on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page. You're welcome to go back and listen to that. But a Christian that has just decided, I enjoy the dirt too much. I know it's wrong. I just enjoy it. Okay, but in God's house, that is a vessel in the dishonor. It's not making God look good. And because of that, he can't use it. So if I want to be a vessel in the honor, what's the first thing? I got to be clean. You know, I was taught to always keep short accounts with God. Here's what that means. I've got to every single day go to God and say, I'm sorry for something because my flesh likes to do wrong. There's things I leave undone that I'm supposed to do, and I have to tell God I'm sorry. There's times when I don't spend the time with the Lord that I promised him I would, and I have to tell him I'm sorry. I got to apologize every day of my life. And my dad taught me as a pastor to keep short accounts with God, which means don't let the sins pile up, because that forms a barrier between you and God. And you know what it makes my vessel? It makes my vessel dirty. And a dirty vessel can't be used. So I'm going to keep short accounts with God by, as soon as I realize I've done wrong, confess it. God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. Help me not to do that again. Y'all following me this morning? And so what makes a difference between a vessel unto honor and a vessel unto dishonor? A vessel unto honor is a vessel that's holy. That's holy. Jesus, God said, be ye holy because I am holy. And so now this is not saying that a vessel unto honor is always perfect. You read the Old Testament and find out the Levites had a tough time keeping these vessels clean. They had to be washed. They had to be sanitized. They had to be polished. Why? Because in the work of the Lord, the vessels get dirty, right? Living in this world, accomplishing God's will, the vessels get dirty, don't we? We step into mud puddles and we trip here and we rush up against somebody there. And so the Levites, they've got to constantly be washing the dirt off and polishing the smudges that got on the vessel. And so we're not perfect, but we're keeping ourselves clean by trying to follow the principles of the Word of God, by asking forgiveness when we do wrong. And so a vessel unto honor was a vessel that was holy, a vessel that was holy. Number two, though, secondly, a vessel unto honor was made and sanctified for a specific purpose. It was made, created, designed, made and sanctified. That means set apart for a specific purpose. You have a preacher that believes in the right to keep and bear arms. Amen. And I believe I got a lot of people who believe in the same right. I know the crowd I'm in. And so, but how many of you, if you're gun owners, you have different guns for different purposes, don't you? I've got a certain gun that if I go deer hunting, that's the gun I use. It is set. I'm not going to take a squirrel hunting. There wouldn't be anything left. You just see fuzz kind of floating through the air. And so it is sanctified. It is set apart specifically just for deer hunting. But I've got other guns that would be more suitable for squirrel hunting because they wouldn't harm, a deer would just feel like that he got, you know, pinched or something. They're purposed. They were designed for a specific purpose. The Bible says here, let's flip to the book of Ezra really quickly. The book of Ezra chapter 6, flip to your left. The book of Ezra chapter 6, these vessels, every single one of them had a craftsman that designed them specifically for a certain purpose. It has certain features for this purpose. It has certain areas that are strong and with this specific item because it's made for a certain place. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 5. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 5. Let's look what the Bible says here. Y'all still with me? Okay, it says, and also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again into the temple, which is at Jerusalem, everyone to his place. There were hundreds of vessels that were used. Hundreds of them were taken from the temple when Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Babylon, destroyed Jerusalem. And Jesus, God said that when you take them back, guys, I've given you instructions. When you take these vessels back, hundreds of them, I want every single one of them to go back in the place where they were designed for. Some were designed for digging, when they were laying the foundations of the tabernacle. Some were designed so they could transfer spices. Some were designed to carry oil. Some, and we could sit here for hours and study the different uses of the different vessels, but basically each one of them were important in fulfilling their role for the overall work of God to be done. Do you know God has made each of his vessels with different personalities for a reason? How boring of a church would this be if every one of us were identically the same? There wouldn't be any variety. You know what else? If we were all the same, is a lot of things would go undone. Because God gave each one of us different characteristics, different talents, different abilities, because his work needs that job to be done. And so every single vessel, a vessel in honor is a vessel that is holy and it's clean, it's been purified, but it's also a vessel that was sanctified for a specific place. Sanctified means set apart. That's the word God actually uses when talking about the vessels. Just like if I'm going to go shoot a squirrel for eating purposes. I don't kill animals for the fun of it, okay? We eat what we kill in their proper seasons and all that. Anyway. But I'm not going to go grab my 270 when I'm going squirrel hunting. That's not the right place for it. It has been set apart for deer hunting during deer season only. When God created you, when he made his vessel, you have certain characteristics and talents specifically for the church that God puts you in. They need you. If God puts you in Highlands Baptist Church, we need you. Do you know what would happen if there were some vessels that decided, I don't like what I'm called to do? I know that I'm a shovel and I'm designed to dig a hole so that they could put the beams of the tabernacle down inside the ground when we go from place to place. But I think I'd rather be a cup. And I think I'd like the high priest to pick me up and try to drink the water that he needs. Or I think that's what I'd rather be. It wouldn't function the way it was supposed to. The work of God would cease. And because the cup could never do the shovel's job, it'd break. It wasn't designed for that. And so God has given each of us specific characteristics and personalities and talents. And we each have different tall trees and short trees because the church of God needs all of those things. And he needs all of us to be in this work. And you're sanctified for that reason. You have other things that you do in your life. Yes, a lot of you work jobs. Some of you are retired. You've got other things that you do. But the reason you were made is because of the job that God has given you to do in his church. The Bible says specifically that you and I were created unto good works. We were created unto good works. That's why you're here. Your 9-to-5 job is what you do to put food on the table. That's not why you're here. You're here because God's work needs to be done, and you were given certain capabilities as a vessel to help your church be able to do those things. And so a vessel unto honor, it was made and sanctified for that specific purpose. But I tell you what, I'm glad that my church needs me. Now, I know I'm the pastor now, but the churches that I grew up in, and if I wasn't pastoring, I'd be so glad. What a comfort to know that I'm needed. The place that I go, there's things that I have to offer. And so God, that's why we're designed. That's why we're created. So first of all, the vessel and the honor was a holy vessel. Secondly, it was an honor. It was a vessel that was made and sanctified for a specific purpose. But thirdly, the vessel unto honor was constantly used in the service of the Lord. It was not just sitting on the shelf. There are certain knives that I own that I never use. For a special reason. And because of that, I'm not going to pull them out when I need to sharpen a stick, or not that I really need to do that anymore, but whatever purpose I have, I don't use those knives. They're for display. So many Christians, boy, they think that they're a beautiful vessel, all polished up, shiny, and I'm for display only, so don't ask me to go soul winning. Huh? I'm for display only, so don't ask me to teach a class. Don't ask me to drive a bus. I'm for display only. God designed his vessels to be used. I'm for display only. Don't ask me to tithe. God's vessels were given specifically designed for that purpose, and they were to be used in service in fulfilling that purpose. God uses the same comparison in talking about the body of Christ. We're all different parts. Some of us are an arm. Some of us are a leg. Some of us are the hair, some of us are the feet, some are organs, whatever. We're all different parts of the body. And when we all do our job, the body of Christ functions the way it ought to. When I was 17 years old, I was diagnosed with epilepsy. I've got to be careful. I'm on medicine for it. I could have what's called a grand mal seizure. And the reason that happens is because there's a little part in my brain that throws off the flow of electrons, or, you know, there's a more technical way, but how they described it to me, that it doesn't flow the way it should. Some of you were thinking, we can tell something was off. And no, so it doesn't flow the way it's supposed to. And so every now and then, if I do enough things to lower my seizure threshold, like staying up late, you know, caffeine and all of the stuff, watching things, you know, lights and all that, if I do enough things, that spot in my brain can mess things up enough that my body will go into convulsions. After I have a seizure, my body is very sore. It takes me about 30 minutes to be able to comprehend things. It's just like a disc that's been totally erased. My tongue is usually chewed up pretty bad. A lot of different things that my body has to suffer because of that. But my tongue didn't do anything wrong. My tongue's doing its job. Tasting, talking, smelling. I almost said smelling, tasting and talking. It does its job. My nose does its job. It smells. My brain does its job. It's thinking and all of this. But because one little spot in my brain decides it's not going to function the way it's supposed to, my whole body has to suffer. My whole body has to deal with the sicknesses and the consequences. You know what happens? The body of Christ, the local church, God puts all those different parts of his body in that church. And when certain parts of the body decide, I don't want to function like I'm supposed to. Okay, so I've been called. The personality that God has given me is a bubbly, outgoing personality. So my responsibility in the church is to make sure that no one comes in these doors and feels lonely. That's what God designed me for. If that's you, if that's your gift that God has given you as his chosen vessel, but you decide, you know what, I don't think I'd like to do that. I think I'd rather just kind of come in and sit down. The whole body is suffering. Whole body suffering. When someone that God has given the ability to maybe drive a vehicle and pick up kids and take them to church, or maybe to help clean, or to whatever it is. Now, after I have a seizure, my body still functions, but it's hard to eat. It's hard to talk. I don't talk right. I have to lay down for a long time. I can still function. Churches all over this country are functioning, but they're handicapped because parts of the body aren't doing their job. And so God has given each one of us abilities and putting us in a place where your church needs what you have to offer as a vessel. You follow me this morning? And so the will of God for a vessel and the honor is a vessel that says, God, use me. There's a song, if you buy my family's CD, there's a song that I'm singing on there that I wrote when I was in Bible college called Use Me Too. And it was my testimony of watching my dad, who built an amazing work for God. And when I was a child, I prayed and said, Lord, if you can use me too, I'll be willing. I want to be used too. I don't just want to be a human being who lives to breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide, and add to the international dust collection. I want to have more of a purpose than that. I want to affect eternity. And so too many vessels, they've been designed with a specific purpose in mind. And there's a church somewhere that needs what they have to offer, but because they've decided, I don't want to work. That church is suffering and they don't have something that person has to offer. And so, but we need to say, Lord, I want to be vessels that can be used. And if you need me to be clean to use me, okay, help me get my life cleaned up. Help me look the way you want me to look because I want to be used. All right, Lord, this is the purpose you have for me. All right, I might not be the best at it, but I'll do the best that I can in this church to make sure that nobody ever goes without a bulletin, to make sure that no one ever comes in and sees this church that it needs to be vacuumed. I'll be the one to make sure it stays clean, or I'll be the one to do this or this, or teach the kids, or help with this, or I'll make sure no missionary ever goes without because you've given me the ability to make money, and I'm gonna give that what I can give to the church to help with the resources. You know what? You fill in the blank. But when a vessel says, God, you've made me for a reason, I'll stay clean so I can be usable, and I want to be used. I don't just want to sit on the sidelines. So many churches are hurting. Probably every church in the world has got some vessels that are for display only. That's not a vessel in honor. God never designed you to sit on the sidelines. I mean, think about it. Let's think about it. Think about how many teenagers will join gangs and do foolish things, life-threatening things, things that if they got caught, they'd be in life sentences in prison. But they do them. Why? Because that group will accept me and they need me. How many people take their life because they say no one needs me? Isn't it interesting that God created inside of you the need to be useful? Huh? I need to be useful. nobody wants to feel like nobody needs them. So you're saying that God created human beings with certain talents, okay? And then he put them in a church that needs those talents done, okay? And then he put inside of that person, hardwired, the need to feel used. Do you see a plan here? Huh? A vessel unto honor is what? It's a vessel that's holy, not dirty. We get dirty in the work, but we do our best to keep getting clean. It's a vessel that has a specific purpose. It was set aside. So many Christians forget their purpose, but it's also a vessel that's used. If you're here today, you say, preacher, it's my desire. Boy, I want to be a vessel that's used. I don't want to be for display only. It's done. There's things you could do. I need right now desperately. I need a husband and wife team or a group of people that could get together and drive our church bus and pick up kids. I know for God to give us the need that I've got vessels here that can do it. I know I've got them. And I don't want to go and ask people specifically. I want to let them volunteer because I don't want to call you to something. I want God to call you. But I need that done. I need people that will help with children's ministries. I need people that will help me pass out tracts. I need people that will help. There's other things that we need done. And I know God's given us the vessels. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, if you look, every house has them. There's vessels unto honor. There's vessels unto dishonor. There are vessels that were designed to be used for a specific purpose, and some of them are fulfilling their purpose and some are not. Some are constantly in service being used and some are not. Some are honor and some are dishonor. And it's up to you and I to choose which one we are. But before a vessel could be used in the temple years ago, first it had to be consecrated and dedicated. And it was sprinkled with the blood from a perfect sacrifice. Boy, isn't that a wonderful picture? Preacher, I want to be used by God. The first thing before we can be used as a willing vessel, we got to be saved. My life's got to receive the sprinkling of the blood from the precious Lamb of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, really is my desire. I want to be used. I want to be a vessel that's used. I don't want to just be for display only. First thing you got to do is make sure you're saved. You have Jesus in your heart. And if you've not been saved, you could be saved today. But if you're already saved, you were designed. You're in God's treasure house. You're precious material to him. And he's made you for a purpose. And he wants to use you. So will you be a vessel in honor or a vessel in dishonor? That's up to you. Father, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us.